Hi, my name's Juice. All right, not really. But for the purposes of this podcast, that's what I'm called. For 5 years, I wrote a blog called Tales from the Library. It was a chronicle of the nutty crap that happened and the Lynchian people I met as a small-town Appalachian library employee. This podcast is an adaptation of my favorite stories from that blog. This is Tales from the Library Cast.
Dateline, Tuesday, August 16th, 2005. Grumpiest Old Men. Well, I guess with Mr. Smiley's recent attempt to challenge the title of Grumpiest Old Man in All the World, Mr. Be Natural, the actual Grumpiest Old Man in All the World, couldn't just sit on the sidelines. Yesterday was his turn. Being a Monday, we, of course, were swamped. Some might say infested with computer patrons. Mr. Be Natural came in and took his turn. 4 minutes before his half hour was up, a lady came in with 2 young children and wanted computers for everyone. I had an adult computer for her, and a kiddie computer for the littlest young'un, but told the lady that her older son would need to wait a few minutes for the next spare adult system, i.e., Mr. Be Natural's. When it came time to ask Mr. B to relinquish his system, he snarled at me. Snarled. Then he waved a finger at his screen, where he was in the process of trying to compose a lengthy email, and said in no uncertain terms that he was writing something important, and it had taken him a long time to get that far because he had dinked around for 20 minutes trying to figure out how to get it to do what he wanted. He indicated that he wasn't going to abandon his work at this stage just because someone else wanted a computer. And he ended with the phrase, "These things happen." Now, Mr. Be Natural was using Hotmail to compose this message, so I knew he could just save it as a draft and come back to it later. However, the process of explaining this to him would be neither short nor without much gnashing of teeth on both of our parts, so I opted not to try. Rather than argue with him, I decided to put all the weight of the situation in the lap of the mother, seated adjacent to Mr. Be Natural. If she really wanted her son to have a computer and insist Mr. Be Natural ditch all of his work, I would back her up. But I'd also be standing behind her, using her body as a shield. "Ma'am, would it be all right if he stays on and finishes his work?" I asked. Mom Patron adopted the manner of a mafia informant facing Tony Soprano himself. She looked up at me with an expression that gamely tried to pretend she not only had no clue what I was talking about, but that she also wasn't really the mother of the child in line for Mr. Be Natural's computer. She did such a good job that I almost bought it, too. After several seconds of this, though, she realized I wasn't letting her out without an answer one way or the other. So, in a meek little voice, she said, "No, that's okay. We'll just wait for the next one." I decided to give Mr. Be Natural 15 more minutes and set his timer appropriately. We do often give more time to patrons taking online tests or filling out applications or other lengthy special projects, but I didn't really want him to know that. If he knew it, suddenly everything he did would become a lengthy special project. Our Monday internet queue continued to grow over the course of those 15 minutes, but when I did finally have another one for Mom Patron's kid, he was too busy reading Junie B. Jones to be bothered to take it. So I passed it on to somebody else. Soon, we had 2 more people waiting for the next available chair, and Mr. Be Natural continued to hog it up. When his 15 minutes were up, I went back to reiterate that I still needed his computer. Again, he snarled.
"I'm working on something important here. I'm reading over it. It takes time."
"Sir, you've had 45 minutes to work on it already, and I have people waiting for this computer." Mr. Be Natural said. For a moment, I considered asking him to carefully examine the text of our flip-down monitor sign, particularly the bit about our reserved right to turn off the computers of patrons who refuse to log off when asked. Instead, I decided to keep giving him chances to end this diplomatically. "You're composing that email in Hotmail. You can save it as a draft and come back to it later, but I do need this computer."
"Look, I'm almost done here. I'm reading over this, and when I'm through, I can send it, and then I'll get off."
Maybe I shouldn't have, or maybe I should have, but I let him go. I figured if I give him a couple minutes to wrap up his little project and then go alert Mrs. C that we may have a problem patron on our hands, I can proceed from there with full administrative backup. Mrs. C was in a foul mood, too, so she was all for some confrontation action. Fortunately, Mr. B. Natural did wrap things up and left the building. He came back at 10 minutes till close and snarled at me again when I reminded him that he would only have 5 minutes to do whatever it was he was about to go do. "So sorry, but we've been closing at 5 p.m. on Mondays for well over 12 years now. It's hardly my fault if you can't pay attention." Dateline, Monday, May 14th, 2007. Mr. B. Wireless? Mr. B. Natural has let it be known that he has just ordered a laptop computer and will soon be taking advantage of the library's wireless access. No more will he have to wait in line in order to get right to his internet crossword puzzle. No more will he be busted off the computer in the middle of a very important game of solitaire in favor of a child who only wishes to spend hours on MySpace. He will be footloose and fancy-free, provided he remains within the as-yet-determined confines of our wireless signal.
"Hey, will I be able to use it outside so I can sit there with my dog?"
he asked last week. "Not sure," I said. "Probably. Some people use it in their car."
"What about the picnic table?"
The picnic table is a bit further away than I imagine our signal reaches. However, I'd be willing to drag the table closer to the building if only for the sake of the dog, a wonderful animal who we like far more than we do its owner. Eventually, Mr. B. Natural will realize that with a wireless connection, he can not only use his computer outside, but will no longer be able to prevent him from drinking coffee as he does. And when he spills that cup of coffee in his own keyboard, he will have to live with the consequences himself. Dateline, Wednesday, June 20th, 2007. Mr. B. Mustache? Mr. B. Natural, as he threatened, is now wireless laptop equipped. He proudly marches into the library, laptop case slung casually at his side, and gestures at us using the International Sign Language for, "Gimme a 4-hour session of wireless time, I got a crossword puzzle calling my name." The odd thing is that along with his acquisition of modern personal technology, Mr. B. Natural has also acquired both a mustache and a golf cap that looks as though it lost a fight with a leaky car battery. The cap is riddled with holes, allowing its padding to show through in places, but he wears it proudly all the same. While the mustache has yet to fully grow in, I have to admit, it kind of suits him. Or at least it works far better than the shiny silver toupee he sported a few years back. Dateline, Friday, June 22nd, 2007. Dear Robert Palmer, the strangest thing happened yesterday. Mr. B. Natural came in, sans laptop, and signed up to use one of our normal patron computers. His face was clean-shaven. His golf cap, seemingly identical to the hole-ridden one he's been sporting, was completely and mysteriously free of holes. I don't know what this means, but it caused me to question whether or not I dreamed up the whole laptop mustache hat lost a fight with a leaky battery thing he's had going on for the past week. Tell me, am I dreaming? Dateline, Tuesday, January 22nd, 2008. Never let the devil know where your goat is tied. We have a legal pad on the circulation desk near the schedule where the staff can leave notes to one another about pressing issues of which everyone should be aware. When I arrived for work, there was a note from Mrs. B. to the effect that Mr. B. Natural, grumpiest old man in all the world, had been in recently and had complained about something. I know. Shocking behavior. According to the note, Mr. B. Natural had complained that some nefarious soul had stolen the crossword puzzle out of the Friday edition of the Wall Street Journal. Furthermore, this may or may not have been happening over the course of multiple weeks, as the note was actually phrased, "Someone has been stealing the crossword puzzle from the Friday Wall Street Journal." The note ended with the phrase, "He was mad." Now, I can certainly see how Mr. B. Natural would be mad at this. After all, He's the crossword puzzle addict who, perhaps a bit out of character for someone who has enjoyed pissing us off a great deal in the past, frequently and politely asks us to photocopy the crossword puzzle out of the journal for his benefit and pays us a quarter for it, no less. So, the fact that someone callously came along and stole the puzzle before he could do this would be justifiable cause for outrage. Unfortunately, his complaint also shone light on avenues of passive-aggressive rogue patron torment that I'd not considered before. After reading the note, I turned to my co-worker, Mrs. B. "Oh, Mr. B. Natural shouldn't have told us that," I said. "Now we're just going to have to start cutting them out on purpose every time he pisses us off." Mrs. B. had evidently been considering the matter with more depth, for then she said, "No, we shouldn't cut them out. We should fill them out." "In pen," I added. "And we should fill them out wrong," she said. This struck me as gloriously evil, and I immediately was nearly crying with laughter. "We should just cram any words we could think of into the squares. We won't even look at the clues." I could just see such a puzzle, filled up with misspelled words that didn't make any kind of contextual sense, let alone actually cross, with two letters in some squares just to fit a word in, some filled in with numbers, and the expression on Mr. B. Natural's face when he saw it would be a priceless gem of victory to be treasured in my mental scrapbook of havoc wrought against the wicked. We laughed and laughed and laughed. Dateline, Wednesday, March 5th, 2008. Actual conversations heard in actual libraries, number 118.
Setting, my library. As Mr. B. Natural, crossword puzzle addict and grumpiest old man in all the world, walks up to me at the circ desk.
"Hey, I found the Wall Street Journal from Friday, except the last section and it is missing again. That's the section that has the crossword puzzle in it, and someone keeps coming in here and taking it every week. You ought to find out who keeps taking it and string them up from the nearest tree."
"Okay."
At this, Mr. B. Natural looks at me a bit suspiciously.
"No, that sounds completely reasonable."
Mr. B. Natural smiles and waltz away.
Dateline, Tuesday, January 29th, 2008. Crosswords. Yesterday, being a normal Monday, we were deluged with patrons as soon as the doors opened. In under 2 minutes, the internet crowders who had been lined up outside the doors impatiently waiting for us to open them had signed up for all 10 of the internet stations. As frustrating as it was for the 4 other internet crowders who arrived at minute 3, having all the stations full is kind of freeing for those of us on staff. We get to smile and say things like, "I'm sorry, it's going to be at least an hour before you can have a computer, unless someone gives up and leaves." At that point, the latecomers usually look sad and then depart. Sometimes not. Mr. B. Natural, for instance, elected to hang around and wait. He lurked on the fringes of the computer area, watching them like a bald vulture for any sign of someone departing. And yes, I realize that vultures typically are bald already, but this would be an extra bald vulture in Mr. B. Natural's case. Or perhaps an extra bald vulture who once spent several $100s on a bright silver toupee, which he then wore for all of a week before sending back for a refund. At one point, I was helping an internet crowder with a computer issue that required me to reboot their computer. As soon as I started the reboot, Mr. B. Natural came rushing over to sit down. "Can I help you?" I asked as he waited for me to get out of his way.
"Yeah, you were signing on that computer for me," he said.
"No, I wasn't," I said icily. "Someone is still using this."
"Oh."
A little bit later, I spied Mr. B. Natural walking with the local newspaper in one hand and a pen in the other. Surely, oh surely, I thought, he wasn't carrying our copy of the local newspaper, and surely, oh surely, he wasn't planning on doing the crossword puzzle in pen in that paper himself. Surely not. Not after the hell he raised last week over someone taking the puzzle from the Wall Street Journal ahead of him. No, I must be mistaken, I thought. Mr. B. Natural must have brought in his own copy of the paper. It would be unthinkable otherwise. Mr. B. Natural did eventually get a computer, used it for all of 10 minutes, and left. Shortly after this, I found our copy of the newspaper had been returned to the desk, crossword puzzle completely filled out in pen. Son of a bee! I wrote a note on the staff notepad to the effect that Mr. B. Hypocrite had done the puzzle in our paper. I figured Mrs. A. would dish out some hell of her own. Toward the end of the day, Mr. B. Natural returned to use a computer again. This time, I was unable to keep my mouth shut. "Hey, what's the deal with doing the crossword puzzle in our paper?" I said. "You were just complaining about other people doing that last week." A look of joyous guilt passed over Mr. B. Natural's face. I saw in that expression the roguish Mr. B. Natural of old, who used to take great pleasure in signing his name upside down on the computer sign-in sheet and trying to sneak his coffee back to the computers for no other reason than to piss us off.
"No, last week I complained about somebody taking the whole section of the paper," he corrected. "Besides, who else you know around here even does the puzzle?"
As much as I hated to admit it, I had to give him that one. Mr. B. Natural is indeed the only person I've known in years who's even looked at a crossword puzzle. This whole episode, however, reminds me of a famous quote originally spoken by Groucho Marx, but more famously reused by another character with the initial B. Of course, you realize this means war. Dateline, Tuesday, July 1st, 2008. Actual conversations heard in actual libraries, number 139.
Setting, my library, on a Monday, a day when there are traditionally only two staff members present, neither of whom are Mrs. A. or Mrs. C., our degreed librarians. It's a day that is ripe for issues to crop up, which I have never had to deal with despite my 7 years in the library ninja game. Mr. B. Natural, grumpiest old man in all the world, approaches the circ desk.
"Yeah, I need you to have them fax me a
stock-related document I've never heard of."
"Them who?"
The people that, they've done it here for me before."
"Done what here for you before?"
"Fax me the
stock-related document I've never heard of."
"I just told them to fax over the
stock-related document I've never heard of."
"And they called and had it faxed. Call up Charleston."
"Call up who in Charleston?"
You just call Charleston and have them fax it. Mrs. C's done it for me before."
"And that's what I'm asking you. Call who in Charleston?"
Mr. B. Natural gives off a growl, then looks over my shoulder as though looking for someone in the staff workroom.
"Is Mrs. C here?"
Anticipating his next question.
"Neither of them are here today."
"Is Mrs. A here?"
"Neither of them are here today."
Mr. B. Natural mumbles something and walks away. Half an hour later, Mr. B. Natural returns to again try both my patience and to get me to call Charleston concerning this document he so desperately needs. I decide that as I have no other authority figures in-house, the least I can do is phone Town C's branch to see if anyone knows what the hell he's talking about. Turns out, stock-related document I've never heard of is a very common document as far as stock-related documents go. The librarian there gives me the name of someone in Charleston to ask for. I phone them. They don't give any indication that this is a hassle at all, and have the documents faxed over within 5 minutes. Mr. B. Natural leaves with them in hand, a couple of dollars lighter in pocket, and a spring in his step at having made me dance his dance.
The commentary bit. And yes, I danced Mr. B. Natural's dance. And while I hate to admit it, in that instance, he wasn't exactly in the wrong, and was not making an unreasonable request. Stupid patrons. Today's podcast, as you may have guessed, contains some of my favorite stories about Mr. B. Natural, particularly because they allowed me to allude to a couple of things that I found simply astounding about the man. Astounding thing number one being his silver toupee adopted for all of a week. More accurately, it wasn't just a toupee, because toupees typically cover one balding portion of a man's head. No, no, this was a full-on wig, because Mr. B. Natural didn't have any hair to speak of and kept his dome pretty much clean-shaven. The first day he came in with that full and luxurious head of silver hair, I did not even recognize him as himself. But it was so bright and silver and imposing that it was impossible to ignore. Your eye was drawn right to it, because a head of hair like that on a man his age is a rare thing to find in the wild. And then you realized the identity of the man sitting beneath that section of silverback gorilla hide, and your stomach kind of does a twisty-turny, roller-coasty kind of thing, because your world is simply jarred. I really, really wish I knew the full story about it, other than what the rumor mill winds blew in my direction. But the thing only lasted a week before getting sent back to its maker. I guess the whole hair look just never really worked for him. Mrs. B and I, unfortunately, did not ever fill out the crossword in pen before Mr. B Natural could get to it. It seemed a mean thing to do to a guy who had basically stopped actively attempting to piss us off on a daily basis. I'm sure I've said it before, but Mr. B Natural and I had come to a grudging truce with one another before my time at the library was at an end, which I never would have predicted from the behavior he exhibited when I first started. I assure you, having to tell someone for the 15th time that they are not allowed to sneak coffee back to the computers is quite an irritating experience. I also have adopted the personal theory that he did indeed spill coffee into his laptop keyboard, because that laptop vanished never to be seen again only a few months after it appeared. And the second astounding thing isn't exactly about Mr. B Natural, but is about the fact that we never did discover the identity of the person who was taking the Wall Street Journal crossword puzzle. If I had to make a guess, I would say it was third grumpiest old man in all the world, Mr. Crab, who was the only other patron besides the capitalist tool who ever gave a shit about the Wall Street Journal. And now it's time for the LibraryCast favorite podcast of the week. Wow, this has been a week for discovery. As I was about to record the commentary bit for this podcast, I noticed that I had a new episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour in my podcast queue. For those of you who don't know Mr. Trussell's work, he's a stand-up comedian who's allied with the Joe Rogan Comedy Death Squad loose network of podcasts. He's a frequent guest on Rogan's show, and I tend to listen to those episodes because I think he's an interesting cat with an interesting perspective on the world. He started his own podcast some months back and almost immediately got to chronicle a brush with cancer on it. Now, even though I like the guy and I've been aware of his show, I've never actually listened to an episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour until this very day. Look, I've got 68 podcasts in my podcast queue right now, shows which I'm a big fan of, and I'm never going to be able to listen to all those shows, because more podcasts just get added to the list each and every day, and it will just become a vicious cycle until such a time as my pod reader, Beyond Pod, has a mental belch and wipes out the whole queue, as it does about once a month. Oh, and by the way, if you've listened this far into this podcast, thank you very, very much. I know empirically just how many podcasts are out there to choose from, and I am truly honored that you chose to listen to this one. However, the guest on today's episode of Duncan Trussell's Family Hour made me sit up and take notice, because it was none other than Dan Harmon, the creator and former showrunner of one of my favorite TV series, Community. He's popped up on other favorite podcasts before, and has always proven himself a fascinating guest in every interview I've heard from him. His interview with Duncan Trussell is not your typical podcast interview, though. This one goes into deep and philosophical territory involving creativity, masturbation, and God, among many other topics. The show also came off to me as the kind of discussion people tend to engage in when they're beaked out of their head on pot. Which might have been the case. I'm not pointing any fingers. It was an enjoyable episode all around, even though they didn't talk about Community at all. However, the true tragedy in all this is that because I've read the show notes for the Harmon episode of Duncan Trussell's Family Hour, I learned that Dan Harmon actually has his own podcast called Harmontown, and that it has 43 episodes already. So, let's see. 43 plus 68 equals 111. Check it out for yourself at harmontown.tumblr.com and duncantrussell.com, which you can find linked at my podcast page, librarycast.com. That's it for Tales from the Library Cast this week. If you enjoyed your time today, please leave me an iTunes review to that effect, or spread the word on your own blog or social media outlet your own way. Follow me on Twitter at librarycast. Music for the show is by Mr. Joel Hunger. Until next time, just remember, the library loves you, but only if you don't steal the Wall Street Journal crossword puzzle section.
E-7.